Thank you, Daryl. Good evening. I've asked several men here tonight to read different portions in the Word of God, and mainly to want us to pick out, there's three words that I'd like us to pick out and kind of focus on. And we'll find that these three words are mentioned in relation to one another quite a bit in the New Testament. And actually, as I was studying this out, I kept finding more and more. So there's probably more instances where these three words are found conceptually, maybe not overtly, the words were actually right there in the verses, but the concept might be found in related chapters and so forth. I think that's probably very much true, but I haven't found them yet, so maybe I will later on, and I'll have an opportunity to share that with you another time, if you're willing. But the first portion I'd like us to consider is in Romans chapter 5. Mike, would you read Romans 5, 1 through 5, please?
Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope made us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
And the next portion we have is 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's Gavin. Thank you. And then we have Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6.
So we feel the Spirit waits for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, in your circumcision, the veil of unity, our uncircumcision, the faith which works by love.
And then, because I felt it would be unfair for me to make everybody else read, and I didn't, so I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then next we have Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5.
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that we have for all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of God.
And then we have 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4.
We give thanks to God always for you all, at the mention of Jesus our prayer, remembering without ceasing the work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, the love of your election of God.
Thank you. And then I have 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, which says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And then our final portion is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Thank you, Tim. Now, I'm sure it's pretty apparent to all of you what three words that I'm considering here. And there's these three little words, I call them. They're little in stature. That means there's a few letters that make up each word. But they're great in meaning and great in power. And those words are faith and love and hope. And I'm going to bounce back into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because that portion that our brother Dan read, this is where I first sort of caught the, saw a pattern there, or saw the three words together and related them together. And then as I was studying 1 Thessalonians, and I think this is interesting, you'll find this too as you study that letter. It's interesting, but I think that the concept or the theme, you'll find those three things repeated throughout that letter. That is, in everything that Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians will have to do with the work of faith, or their labor of love, or their patience of hope. And of course we know Thessalonians' epistle, every single chapter ends with a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great hope that we have. So I was studying those three things, the work of faith, and the labor of love, and patience of hope, and I got really surprised as I would be reading them, you know, it's something I've been thinking about for a long time, actually, and I'd be reading in a different portion, and something maybe that Annette and I were reading that day, and I'd see those three words kind of mentioned again another time, and then a little later on I'd see it again, and boy, pretty soon, you know, it's pretty interesting to see those three words together. And I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised that the Word of God is so uniform and so connected in the thoughts that it presents to us. But these three words, faith, hope, and love, they're small words, you know, in English, but they're really, I mean, big words in the life of a Christian when you think about it. You know, they're connected, they're related, and they're like a threefold cord. I like to think of them like a threefold cord. And over in Ecclesiastes it says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And these three things, faith, love, and hope, I like that threefold cord, a very strong cord, when they're wrapped together. And when we can, you know, and for us as believers, they're wonderful, three wonderful things that save us and preserve us and help us to fix our gaze on the appropriate heavenly things. And that, of course, is related to the hope part. What's also interesting when you think about these three words is that in our day these three words kind of have been twisted to mean something different. Each word kind of means something different than what it originally means or what the scriptural meaning of that word is. For example, faith. You'll think, most people will think of religious belief now. And so you'll hear mentioned of the Muslim faith or the Catholic faith or the Hindu faith, you know. But really, faith isn't a religious belief, so to speak. And I get frustrated, and I probably don't express it well when people say something to me like, I hear you're very religious. I kind of get offended with that almost. Like, no, I'm not religious at all. And I don't like religion, as a matter of fact. I like faith. I like the Christian faith. There's a difference between faith and religion. Religion is trying to earn a way to heaven, and faith is believing that it's been secured for you in a person. So I probably don't do a very good job of correcting people when they talk about my religion, but I'm trying to get better at that, and I'm sure that as time marches along, Lord willing, I will. But that faith is a religious belief, and, you know, so we have the Muslim faith and the Hindu faith and all kinds of faith, you know, different faiths. And then love, you know, love's been kind of twisted to mean, you know, an emotional, a strong emotion, you know, an emotional attachment to a person or a thing, or a sexual act, you know. And that's not really what love is at all in the Word of God, is it? Love is a giving, it's a giving state of existence almost. Love is a very active, a very selfless thing, you know, and God is love. And then hope also has kind of been twisted a little bit too, you know. You think of hope, people, like even when I talk to my grandma, she says, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, you know. But that's not a hope, that's not a secure confidence. And hope really to us is not, you know, wishing for something and maybe it'll happen, you know. Hope in the Word of God is a confidence in something that is sure to come to pass. So I wanted to look at these three little words a little bit. And I should stop saying little words because they're really big words. So these three words, faith, love, and hope, I'd like to look at. And I'd like to look at them in that order, as a matter of fact, faith, love, and hope. We'll find in several of the passages that were read this evening that the order might be a little different, but the reason that the order is different is because the writer is emphasizing love, actually. And so he saves love for last. And you'll find that in the Romans portion that we read, Romans chapter 5 there, and then also in the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:13. The reason why Paul saves love for last there is because he's emphasizing and he's really talking about love. But I think that probably, from perspective of time, the correct order to think of these three words is faith and then love and then hope. And when we think about these words, I'd like us to think about them in several ways. I'd like us to think about them in terms of direction. I'd like to think about them in terms of time. I'd like to think of a chapter in the Bible that really speaks to one of these three words. Each one of these words has a great chapter in the New Testament that talks about that theme or that word. And I'd like to see how they're connected also. So beginning with faith, I'd like to think about the direction of faith. And really, faith looks upward to God. Faith is a Godward thing. Now, I have a hard time, I say a Godward thing because I don't know how else to describe faith, hope, or love, but as a thing or a concept. So I say faith is a Godward thing because it's like there should be a better word to talk about it, but thing is the only word I can come up with in my mind. It's a concept, you know, that concept of faith. It's Godward, right? And with respect to time, faith is based on promises made in the past. And faith is based on a work that has been accomplished for us in the past. And so we'll find in all the references that we read tonight, faith is always first. And faith should be first because it's foundational. It's always mentioned first because it's where everything begins. Hope and love, or I should say love and hope, follow faith. And faith is the first step. And it's the first step in the life of the believer. It's the idea that there's a person that accomplished something on our behalf at a time in the past, and that was at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you and I, and he accomplished something for us there in the past. So with respect to time, faith sort of is connected with the past. In Hebrews 11:1, it'll give us a great definition of faith, and I like it a lot. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. So that definition even brings in the idea of hope for connection. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, And I looked, dug into that word for substance a little bit there, and another two words that would be good to substitute for substance there would be confidence or foundation. So faith is the confidence or the foundation of hope. And it's what everything else is built upon. When you think about a foundation, you think about that infrastructure, that basic thing that you lay down first. Other things are then built upon. And again, that's why faith comes first. It's foundational. Without faith, Hebrews also tells us, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For I forgot the verse. Let me go find it. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, thank you very much. Now, in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is always the object of faith. The object of our faith is always the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he that has accomplished the work for us. He is our foundation upon which we rest, and so forth. Now, if you look over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, it says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so faith is associated with the breastplate. And the breastplate is associated with guarding the heart. And that's what faith is associated with. Faith is a matter of the heart. And faith comes by hearing. That's another thing that's interesting. We find that in Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, let me see if I can connect these properly. The thought I'm having here is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in verse 3 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm trying to think about that faith in terms of being a work of faith. There's a work of faith, there's a labor of love, and there's a patience of hope. So then, we can see that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So then, in a sense, I think it's correct to say that faith is a work. Faith is a work which the Word of God produces in us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 where it says, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so faith cometh by hearing, and so in order for that work of faith to be wrought in us, it requires us hearing the Word of God. But not only is faith a work that is wrought within us by God's Word, faith also produces works in us that are pleasing to God. I think James chapter 2 addresses this very well. And, of course, many people will look at what Romans says about the works of the law and what James says about the works of faith and sort of find a contradiction or a problem there. That we mustn't ever confuse the works of faith with the works of the law. Those are two different things. The works of faith follow our salvation. The works of the law are mistakenly thought to lead to our salvation. So when we act upon what God has said, then the work of faith is made real in our experience. So then, it is correct to say that the work of faith wrought in us by God is then worked out by us in our activities. James very clearly says faith without works is dead. And so there's a reasonable expectation, and I think there's every expectation that's found in the Word of God, is that one who has true faith will then also have works that evidence that faith. at some point. You may not see it today, but you should see it at some point. There is nothing in the New Testament that I can find to support the idea of secret or inactive believers. True faith results in works before others that are evidence of our faith. Now the works don't mean our salvation, of course. I'm sure we all understand that. But the works are definitely something which follows our conversion. Now it's interesting too to see that it says in the New Testament that faith worketh by love. And I had a reference for that somewhere, and I can't find it now. Oh, it's Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So we can find a connection between faith and love, in that faith works through love. The operation of faith is through love. And then we can also find a connection with faith and hope in the New Testament. In James 1:3, we read that the trying of our faith works patience. And patience, of course, is connected with hope. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the patience of hope. The endurance that is required to bear up under the trials that may befall us day to day in this life. Those trials of our faith, they work out hope in us. They work out patience and endurance, which is hope. Because we understand that we may not receive the promise or the reward today or tomorrow, but nonetheless, in the future, as just as sure as God has said it in His Word, someday we will receive the promise. Paul is the apostle of faith, I think. His great treatise on faith is found in Romans. I think if you look at these words, faith, hope, and love, you'll find that Paul is the apostle of faith. And he sets it forth very clearly in his epistles. Of course, that great faith chapter is Hebrews chapter 11. And I like that in Hebrews chapter 11, the first three people that I mentioned, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, are all different examples of faith. Abel represents the worship of faith, and Enoch represents the walk of faith, and Noah represents the work of faith. And you can see that as you read the stories of those three men, and Enoch, there isn't much said about it, but the one thing that's very clear is that he walked with God, and he pleased God. And he's a great man of faith that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So that's what we have for faith, and then for love, let's consider the direction of love. Agape love, of course, we're talking about, not brotherly love. There's different words in the Greek to express the two different types of love. Brotherly love, which is like the love, if you find the words Philadelphia, Philos, Phileo, it's an affectionate, it's sort of a more of a human affection, and an affectionate kind of love. But godly love, agape love, is the love which is godly love, okay? And that's a love that is ever giving and ever seeking the good blessing of someone or something else, and is never focused on itself. So love looks outward to others, whereas we have faith looks toward God, love looks toward others. And love is manward then. Where faith is to God, is Godward, love is manward. And then with respect of time, love is not associated so much with the past as with the present, because love is a continual activity that is performed in the present. It's something that we do. And I like that 1 Thessalonians references those believers there in Thessalonica, references their labor of love. Now, if you recall in the portion we read in Colossians 1 and 4, Paul mentions the love that those believers had toward all the saints. And it's interesting if you put those two thoughts together that the love can be a labor, and especially when you consider love toward the saints. And I'm thinking of myself when I say this, because I think that sometimes, you know, loving the saints probably can be a labor. And I'm sure that I myself make it very difficult at times for other believers to love me. But I think maybe that's why it's called a labor. And I think there's more of an intensity of activity required there too. And when you think of a brook of faith, when you think of a labor of love, there's a real intensity of activity and ongoing, I don't want to say toil, because I think if we have the right frame of mind with respect to the, our loving kindness towards others and the things we say and the things we do and the things we think, then it really shouldn't be a toil, should it? But probably because of the shortcomings of our flesh and that old man that's ever present with us, it seems that love can be a toil at times, or a labor. The labor of love. That's the, you know, one of the things that impressed Paul about the believers in Thessalonica was not just their work of faith, but it was their labor of love. And I take it to mean by reading the rest of that letter is that they were very active in manifesting the love of Christ to others, both believers and unbelievers. Now, if you go back in Colossians, when Paul says, when he mentions their love to all the saints, I like that thought too, because it's love to all the saints, not to all the saints in your assembly, or to all the saints in your assembly that you agree with, or to believers that believe exactly what you believe, but I think it's love toward any saints, wherever true believers are found, regardless of the denomination that they're in. Sometimes we have a tendency to maybe get a little sectarian in our thoughts, and that, you know, we're a little better, or, you know, we've got a little better handle on the Word of God, or whatever it might be, you know what I mean? Our labor of love should be something that is consistent and constant to all believers. And not only to all believers, though, we have to think of unbelievers, too. Our labor of love is probably even more important and more critical in what we do and how we react with non-believers around us. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, like faith, love is associated with the breastplate, and that probably doesn't even need to be said, but love is a matter of the heart as well, like faith. But it also says over there in 1 Corinthians 13 that, and we'll see, when you see the word charity, most often that word charity in the New Testament is the word for agape love. And I remember, it was quite a long time ago, I think we were fairly new to the assembly when Mr. Don Palmer gave a good message on 1 Corinthians there and about faith, hope, and love. And I remember that message quite well. And one thing it says there in that verse is that the greatest of these is love. And it's interesting to think about, why would it be that when you're considering faith and hope and love, why would love be the greatest? But I like the thought that, first of all, because God is love. We don't read anywhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament that God is faith, and we don't read anywhere that God is hope, but we do read that God is love. It's the very essence of God, not that he's a loving God, but that he is love. And so the greatest of those three things certainly is love. I also think that love is the greatest because faith will eventually give way to sight, and hope will ultimately be realized. But in 1 Corinthians 13:8 we read, love never fails. You know, love will endure forever. I mean, there's going to be coming a day, and I like the way Hamilton Smith put it. He said, faith and hope make very good traveling companions, but we part company with them at the door of heaven. Love will endure forever, though. And of course, the great love chapter in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 13. And I think John is the apostle of love. He repeatedly stresses the commandments to love God. and to love one another. Love is that perfect bond that unites us all as believers. It's the bond of perfection we read in Colossians 3:14. It's the bond of perfectness. It is that which binds us together and knits us together as one. It's love. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And then in the listing of the fruit of the Spirit, love comes first. So love is prominent and preeminent in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And Ephesians speaks much about our love. In 3:17, we're to be rooted and grounded in love. In 4:2, we're to suffer with or bear with one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. In 4:15, we're to speak the truth in love. And then in 5:2, we're to walk in love. So then we have faith, which looks upward to God and is based on promises made in the past and on a work that was accomplished for us in the past. We have love, which looks outward to others and which is a continual activity performed in the present. And then we have hope, and the direction of hope is onward. Hope looks onward to heaven. Hope is heavenward. And in respect to time, hope is the confident expectation of the future. And it looks forward to a future work that will be accomplished in us. Faith looks back to a past work that was accomplished for us. Hope looks forward to a future work that is going to be accomplished in us. And that is our ultimate, our redemption, our salvation, when the Lord Jesus Christ will call us home and transform these vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. Now, hope is connected with faith in that it is based on faith in the promises of God. Hope is connected with love. In Romans chapter 5, we read, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." It's poured out into our hearts, the love of God, by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And then over in Romans chapter 8, I think I've got time to just go through that quickly. Beginning in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for." There's that patience of hope again. It's the hope that you and I have that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is returning for us. And our bodies are going to be changed. We're going to be delivered from the corruption that is that surrounds us and is part of our old nature that is with us today. We'll be ultimately finally delivered from that. And so we see that hope is related to patience, and that patient hope is waiting for a certain expectation of a future event that is to come. Now also in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, we read, hope is associated with the helmet, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now the helmet protects the head, or the mind. And I was listening to a brother on tape not long ago. His name is August Van Ryn, and he's, I think he was might have been Scottish. He said, the helmet keeps you from getting your brains knocked out. And I like that a lot. That's what the helmet does. It protects your head and your mind. And the hope of salvation that we have, it's something that keeps us. You know, I don't know if it may be, you know, when you look at all around you, what's going on in the world, you know, there's so much tragedy, you might be inclined to give it all up. And yet we have the Word of God here, which tells us that these things are going to be, and these things are to be expected. And so we have that hope that we know that ultimately all things are going to work out for good, for those that love God. And that's you and I because of our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the hope that we have is a heavenly hope. Colossians 1:5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Our hope is a heavenly hope. Not only is it a heavenly hope, but the hope that we have is a person. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Imagine that. Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then Titus 2, verses 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. Then finally, the hope that we have is not just a heavenly hope and a person, but it's the hope of eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That being justified by his grace, in another place it says, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I think Peter is the apostle of hope. When we read in his letters, we read, as Tim even read tonight, that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Paul is the apostle of faith, and John is the apostle of love, and Peter is the apostle of hope. And of course, the great hope chapter that we have is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which sets forth the resurrection of the believers. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So I'm a little bit over here, and I apologize for that. I just wanted to bring a few thoughts before you about these three giant words, faith, love, and hope. And I would really appreciate it if in your studies in the Word of God, if you find other places where those three are mentioned in connection. I'm trying to compile a journal now, kind of, you know, put some really good thoughts together about all of them, so, or maybe even themes of that in the Old Testament, so, let's just close in a word of prayer.